Our sermon text for today comes from John chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. So welcome this morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Jim. I'm one of the pastors here. If you're visiting, it is so wonderful to have you join us. We're in the middle of a series working through the seven I am sayings of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. So we come to the fifth saying this morning. We'll continue to look at these vivid images that Jesus gives us so that we may understand his care for us, so that we may understand who he is and what he does for us as his people, and so that we may understand that this is an open invitation from Jesus to come to him, to find rest and salvation in him and in him alone. As we begin, before I pray, I would just, on a personal note, like to thank you all for your continued prayers for me, for my extended family. I know not all of you are aware, so just a brief note on that, and it fits very much with the sermon this morning, but a little over 2 weeks ago, we were on our extended family vacation with my extended family, obvious. And my nephew was with us. My 20-year-old nephew had an accident, a normal fall in the water, but it led to a brain bleed. He was rushed to the hospital, and he's still in a coma at U of M. My sister and family, who are from the other side of the state, are basically living at the hospital, living here. My parents have spent just about every waking hour at the hospital, still hopeful, but definitely uncertain about my nephew Garrett's recovery. So I wanted to start just by thanking you for praying, thanking you for, my sister's not a part of this church, but so many of you have cared for them, brought them meals here in Ann Arbor, and just really, I know that they would say, my parents would say, how thankful we are for the church, for the community here. So that was my personal note before we look at this text together. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, we look to you, and we know that our lives are in your hand. We trust in you, and we thank you for these beautiful words of Jesus that we come to this morning. I pray for each person in this room. Speak, Lord, to us. Help us to hear your promise, and help us to cling to your promise this morning. We need you. We ask for your help even during this sermon, or even during this time of teaching. We pray that you would come and meet with us and that Jesus Christ would be exalted. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name be glory, because you are the God of steadfast love and faithfulness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we continue this series, Jesus' vivid imagery continues, right? We looked at Jesus being the bread of life, the light of the world, the door to abundance, and now this morning we come to John 10, and we come to this statement of Jesus that he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And I think as we continue on this path in this series, there are two ditches on either side that we need to avoid. It's tempting for a preacher like me to kind of get lost in the details and say, Jesus gave us this very vivid image that he's the good shepherd and we're sheep, and then get lost in giving a 10-point explanation of what that means, almost like a theological dictionary. So I think that's one ditch. We don't want to make this too complex. We want to follow Jesus' teaching. He is the good shepherd and we are sheep. And if we get that simple image and carry that with us through our lives, it will change everything for us. So one ditch is making this too complex. So my two points this morning are very simple. We are sheep, and Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, there's a lot to say under that, but hopefully keeping that image before us through these two points. But the second ditch, I think we need to avoid is simplifying this. When we come to a statement that's pretty well known, I am the good shepherd, and we hear that and we think, oh yeah, I've seen the picture of Jesus. He has, you know, the glow around his face. He's holding that tender little lamb, that cute lamb. It's so serene. It's so nice. It's perfect for a Sunday morning. Or maybe it's perfect to go on the wall in a Sunday school, you know, hallway in a church. I think if we think like this, we have no clue what Jesus is really talking about here. And so how do we avoid this ditch of hearing it and say, yeah, that's cute, that's nice, that's good. How do we avoid that ditch? We take this statement of Jesus, we receive this image, and we carry it with us through the grid of real life and real suffering. So in different ways, each of us in this room, each of us could think about possibly present and ongoing hardships and trials, the difficulties of life. So we receive the statement of Jesus and we bring it through that grid. And then we see how Jesus is the good shepherd. So again, for me and my family over the last 2 weeks, we receive this statement from Jesus, I am the good shepherd, and we hold on to that statement as we see suffering and experience suffering. Of course, we wrestle with the questions. Is Jesus a good shepherd here, even in this room, where my son or my nephew is here in a coma and we don't know the outcome? Is Jesus a good shepherd here? Is this real? Does this really affect my life now? And I know I don't want to, just because I'm the speaker this morning, just think about my suffering. I know we live in a broken world and we all have experienced intense suffering. Can we take the statement of Jesus through the grid of that suffering and come out on the other end still holding on to it? That's the goal. It's not just a simple statement. It's a simple image that we should be able to grasp. But we want to take that simplicity through complexity and come out on the other end still holding on to what Jesus is saying. That's the goal. So here's our points again. Number one, we are all sheep. And then we'll look at Jesus as the good shepherd. So number one, we are all sheep. We see this throughout the Bible. We opened our service with Psalm 100. It's mentioned there and many other places. We as humans are referred to as sheep. And Jesus' analogy here of being the good shepherd only confirms that this is true. This is fundamental to how we are to think about ourselves. So what does it mean that we are sheep? Two main themes that I think we see in this image. Number one, we are extremely needy. And number two, we are extremely valuable to Jesus. So first, we are extremely needy. Who's seen the movie Zootopia from a few years back? You know, when you have young kids, you see movies like Zootopia. So Disney movie, if you've seen it, what is most far-fetched about the movie Zootopia? It's not the animals talk, right? Disney's been doing that for 100 years. No big deal. Or maybe we could believe that there's a city somewhere where animals are police officers and doing other occupations. Maybe, right? What is most far-fetched about Zootopia? It's the villain in the story. A sheep. Can you believe it? It should be mind-boggling to us. Right at first, she comes on the scene, Assistant Mayor Bellwether. She's normal, she's soft, she's cuddly, soft-spoken, eager to help, weak, vulnerable. But then as the story unfolds, she's revealed as a powerful and manipulative criminal mastermind. But she's a sheep. This should be so far-fetched, right? We should cry, this is ridiculous. This can't happen. Sheep can't be villains because sheep are weak. Sheep are vulnerable. Sheep are intellectually challenged. They can't protect themselves. They can't care for themselves. One commentator wrote, you never see a pack of wild sheep because if they're lost, they get eaten. Sheep aren't that smart. They follow each other into stupid places. They're way too easily influenced. Maybe you start to see, oh, maybe I am like a sheep, right? They quickly lose their direction. And even when you find them, they run around in fear and panic. So when Jesus implies that we are sheep, when Scripture implies that we are sheep, he isn't necessarily complimenting us, but he is very much pointing to what is real. And it shouldn't be too hard for us to see, okay, I see where Scripture's going with this. But again, we need to remember, Jesus isn't just kind of dropping this and then walking away. He's dropping this saying, this is reality, but I'm the good shepherd. I will care for you. I will protect you. You're like this, but I'm here for you. So you need to remember that. But it's not a flattering image for us in many ways. So let's think about this. How are we needy? How are we like sheep? When you look at your life, how are you like a sheep? There's no amount of exercise, diet, or self-care that can guarantee health and long life for any of us. Again, I've been able to be at the hospital quite a bit over the last 2+ weeks, almost every day. So it's sobering to see my 20-year-old nephew, definitely sobering, but even getting to his room every day, you see people all down the hallway struggling with sickness and disease. We're sheep, young and old, rich and poor. As humans, we're needy, vulnerable, weak. Our lives, the lives of those we love, are not in our control. We think of our parents, we can think of our kids, the people we love, people age, people get sick, people have accidents. We are like sheep. And this can be scary. When this comes close to home, it can be so scary and we can react in ways given to fear. Maybe decide, well, with my kids, I'm really going to try to protect them. Life is so fragile. That's not the way we need to respond. We need to see Jesus standing there saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I will care for you. Eric and Bart and I are reading Calvin's Institutes together, and this week we were reading on the providence of God. And Calvin, so he wrote this 500 years ago. Different time, right? Different stage of medical advancement. And he has this wonderful section where he's talking about how unbearable it would be to live without the providence of God. And he describes our bodies as the receptacle of 1,000 diseases, and our lives are enveloped with death. And then he spends about 2 paragraphs just going through all the ways that we suffer harm, that we could face death. But he's saying it's under this providence of God. We could say this morning, it's under the care of our shepherd. So I think we should be thankful for medical advancements, and kind of death is removed from us now, but there's a danger to that as well. We are fundamentally the same. Death still comes close. Cancer, car accidents, other things can happen, and we can lose sight of our lack of control. We physically, as human beings, are like sheep in this way. We are needy and vulnerable. We must have a shepherd who cares for us. So let's think about this together. As you parent your kids, it is so easy to get overwhelmed with the risks, the possibility of harm, your responsibility to care for them. So easy to give into fear, so easy to move where we're going to control, we're going to shelter and protect. And of course, we need to be responsible as parents. But firstly, I believe we need to hear Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And entrust our children into his care. And as we parent our kids, as they grow, we may not always understand his purposes, the way he shepherds, what he does. But one day we will see Jesus face to face, and we will know he is a good shepherd. He's a much better shepherd than any of us ever could be of our own kids. He loves them more. So Jesus, we can say, don't always answer my prayer request for my kids, because I don't know. I don't see everything accurately. Jesus, we don't want him to answer every prayer request we have for our kids. We say, Lord, this is what we want, but you are the good shepherd. We trust in you. Or as you grow older, and sickness comes or weakness comes, you must hear Jesus, I am the good shepherd, for all of your days. Or as we face accidents, Jesus is standing with us saying, I am the good shepherd. So first, this category of just as human beings, physically, we're like sheep. But secondly, I think we need to also think spiritually how we are like sheep. And this is so important. What I'm about to say is central to Christianity and who we are. We must get this. So hear this statement. There is no amount of spiritual discipline or self-control or our own effort that can guarantee our own spiritual health and true spiritual life. There's some overlap to our physical sheepishness, if we can use that word, and our spiritual sheepishness. We cannot lose sight that spiritually we are sheep. I think it's so easy for us to begin to think that we take care of our spiritual lives on our own, that we're supposed to fix up our spiritual lives by ourselves. Like we feel guilty sometimes. We feel the lack that is in all of our lives, and how do we respond? I will do better. I will resolve. I can do better. I can do better. This week, I will do better. This week, I'll do this instead. Or maybe we hear Jesus' call to love others, to selflessness. So we say, okay, I'm determined. I'm going to change. I'm going to grow. I'm going to do this. Or maybe we are pretty disciplined. Maybe we're pretty moral, sacrificial, serving others quite a bit. And the danger here is we lose sight that we're a sheep. We're just like, oh yeah, God likes me because of this, because of the way that I live. And I think if any of those mark us, we've completely lost sight of who we are. And we've lost sight of the way of the Christian life, the gospel of Jesus Christ, for spiritual health. As sheep, we must be looking to the Good Shepherd. If you have a copy of the Bible, look at Luke 18. I think Jesus gives us this wonderful story to help confirm how we need him as our Good Shepherd. So he's telling the story of what it means to be right with God, and he gives two examples. And we're told, Luke tells us, that Jesus told this story because there were some in his presence who trusted in themselves and treated others with contempt. So they thought they were pretty good. They trusted in themselves and they looked down on others. And I think this should be just as ridiculous as a sheep villain. Go back to Zootopia. How can we trust in ourselves? That's the point. So Jesus tells this story, and the first character he puts before us is the Pharisee. And Jesus says, the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed like this, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. So Jesus is putting this character before us. I think we're to assume the Pharisee was living like this. He was giving. He was fasting. He was praying. He was very spiritual, very disciplined. But Jesus says, man, this guy's in a bad place. We look at him like, man, this guy's killing it spiritually. Jesus says, this guy's in a bad place. So he takes us to the one that he thinks is right, that he knows is right with God. Verse 13. But the tax collector, immediately we're to think, unjust, a cheat, disloyal to his own people. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus concludes, I tell you this, this man, the tax collector, the sinner, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So the same idea, humbled, like a child, we can say like a sheep, spiritually needy. Lord, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says this is the Christian. This isn't only the way that we come to know Jesus. This is the way we walk with Jesus day by day by day. We are sheep, he's the good shepherd. We are needy, he must care for us. He must protect us. The fundamental cry of a Christian every day is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And of course, as sinners, we pray that we grow in grace. We pray that we change. We pray that we love more. But our trust is in the mercy of our good shepherd, the care of our good shepherd. And this is what it means to be a Christian. So I ask you this morning, do you think of your spiritual life and health as under your control? What is your response to your weakness, your neediness, your sinfulness? Just beat yourself up, tear yourself down, or fix your eyes on the Good Shepherd? Right? The well-known quote of Robert Murray McShane, for every one look at self, 10 looks to Christ. How do you think about your spiritual life? I think a main strategy of Satan is to move us away from our spiritual sheepishness. I was reading a book this week by Michael Reeves, and he says this: we should not be surprised when a moment of anger or stress unleashes unkind words and vicious thoughts. We are startled that such vileness could apparently pop out from nowhere. Our astonishment betrays how we forget the unseen sewer that exists in all of us at times. We read Scripture, who are we? We are sinners in need of mercy. Or you can think of the illustration that C.S. Lewis gives. If there are rats in the cellar, you only see the rats when you quickly turn on the lights and run downstairs. Then you see all the rats scurry around. But you can go a lot of your days living in the house and never see the rats. But there are rats in the cellar. It's the same with our own hearts. We might be able to do pretty good if people just don't stress us out too much. If people kind of leave us alone, we can kind of go through our day without a lot of problems. If someone comes close, stress comes close, you see who we really are, the unseen sewer. We should never be surprised because we're so needy. Physically, yes, we've seen it, but spiritually, so needy. If my shepherd doesn't keep me, I might fall away. I am so stupid as a sheep. I might run into danger immediately. And I think maybe a way to think about this is when we see spiritual leaders fall into sin, what is our response to that? Maybe personally, what is my response when I see another pastor fall into sexual or moral sin? If my response was, man, that guy, he must not have been the real deal. He's got problems. There's something wrong with him. That's not a Christian response. That's a very dangerous response, right? Pride goes before the fall. That is not the response. If I see another pastor fall into moral failure, I cry out to God, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. But for your grace, but for your shepherding care, I will do the exact same stupid and dangerous thing. Keep me, Lord. Watch over me. Protect me. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. That should be our response. Of course, we protect ourselves. We bring in accountability. We do all, but the primary response is, God, if you don't keep me in your grace, if you don't continue to shepherd me, Jesus, I'm so foolish. I'm so sinful. I will go down that same path. Lord, have mercy as I fight this sin. Lord, have mercy as I fight this fear. Lord, have mercy as I seek to endure this trial. Lord, have mercy as I seek to grow in grace. Lord, I need you. I need you to protect me. We cannot think that for one moment we are outside the realm where we need the Good Shepherd's care. So most of the sermon has been about sheep. We'll get to the shepherd in just a moment. But I think this image should be something that we can carry with us throughout each of our days, whatever we're facing. We are needy, needy sheep. We need a shepherd. But secondly, briefly, under this first point, sheep are valuable, and we need to see this. And you can think of certain stories of Jesus where he goes after that one sheep. He pursues them. He loves. He cares. And in Mideastern culture, sheep were a major part of their wealth, right? Very valuable to them. We can't just take this as an insult, right? We need to see that, yes, we are needy. Yes, we are vulnerable. Yes, we are weak. We're dependent on the shepherd, but we are his treasure. He loves us. And we see that in the way the shepherd cares. So let's look now at Jesus, the good shepherd. Hopefully all of this neediness sets us up to see the beauty of what Jesus does. Look at verse 10 of John 10. I came, he said, that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. So two aspects that I want us to take with us as we leave here in just a moment. This shepherd knows you and this shepherd loves you. Shepherd knows you and the shepherd loves you. The shepherd knows you perfectly. One of the commentators said that at night it was typical for families to all put their sheep in one pen. And a hired hand would guard the sheep throughout the night. But then the shepherd would come in the morning, one of the shepherds, and he'd call just for his sheep and only his sheep would come because the shepherd knows his sheep and the sheep know their shepherd. We're told it's the most intimate and comprehensive relationship that there is between human and animals. Absolutely unique. So why does Jesus use this image, this illustration for us? He wants us to know that he knows us completely. He knows everything about us, every struggle, every fear, every temptation, every internal conflict. He knows. He knows. We don't have to hide. Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, knows us completely, and secondly, loves us fully. He loves you. How do we know he loves? He's not a hired hand. When danger comes, he's not just skedaddling away, getting out of there, protecting himself. He tells us what kind of shepherd he is. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. He says it twice, verse 11 and verse 15. I lay down my life for the sheep. We're facing danger. We're afraid. We don't know what's going to happen. How do we know that this shepherd is with us, is staying here in this room, in this place? How do we know? He laid down his life for us. And if he gave himself for us, if he went to the cross, then surely whatever I face, wherever I go, if he did that, if he went to the cross, if he suffered there, then I know he is with me. I know it. In my place, he stood there condemned. He suffered horribly for my sin. It was mine. He took it upon himself because he's such a good shepherd. He loves me. If he died for me, if he died for you, then surely wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you face, he will be with you. So we think of our neediness physically. We think of all the things that can happen. We know he died, he is with me. We think of our neediness spiritually. When we fail, when we sin, when we fall to temptation, he is with us. He is calling us to himself. Come to me. You're weary and burdened by your sin. You're weary and burdened by your failure. Come to me. I am your good shepherd. I know everything about you. You don't need to hide. You don't need to come groveling in your shame. Come to me. I went to the cross. I laid down my life for you. Come to me. If he gave himself for us in death, we know surely he will give us all things. This is the shepherd we need. As we live, I'm sure this is the experience of anyone old like me, right? College kids think I'm old now, mid-40s. But as we live, we see more and more of our neediness in every way, physically, spiritually, emotionally, every way. The beauty of that is as we see more of our neediness through the experiences of life, we can see more of the care of this amazing shepherd who will be with us for all our days. We need to hear the words of Jesus, I am the good shepherd, and we need to trust in him. There is no other shepherd. This isn't just, oh, we're in a Christian church, so the guy up front is talking about Jesus because that's what they do. There is no other shepherd. If we don't have Jesus as the good shepherd, when life happens, when suffering happens, we're out on our own. Jesus is the only one who is the good shepherd. We need Jesus. He is in a category all by himself. He will care for us. There's thieves out there. There's hired hands out there. Sometimes we try to shepherd ourselves. None of that works. We need Jesus. And the beauty of the Christian message, the beauty of the Christian message is that Jesus stands with open arms and says, come, be a part of my sheepfold. Come into this amazing pasture. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Come to me, come to me. I'll give you rest. I will care for you. Come to me. We can trust him. We may not always understand what he is doing, where he is taking us, what will happen, but we can know he is the good shepherd. He has compassion for us. He only does what is best for us. We trust in him. Jesus is the one who, when he saw the crowds, his heart went out in compassion to them because they were harassed, they were helpless, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus says, well, I'll send laborers out. Or let's pray for laborers to go out in the harvest, to bring these people into my sheepfold so that I can care for them. This is Jesus' heart. And the beauty of the Christian message is that wherever you are today, whatever you're facing, Jesus says, come. Come. You will not want. I will lead you to green pastures. I will lead you to still waters. I will restore you. And even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't need to fear. I'm right here with you with my rod and my staff. I will comfort you. I will prepare for you an abundant feast. And wherever you go, goodness and mercy shall chase you, shall follow you. And you will dwell with me. We don't know what's going to happen in each and every situation. Whatever we're facing, we don't know what the future holds, but we know this. If he is our good shepherd, we will see him face to face, and that will be all that we need. I'd like us to close by reading together. I think this should be our creed as Christians, Psalm 23. So let's all stand. Musicians, you can come. This will be our closing prayer together. Let's all read Psalm 23. And then after we read this, we'll sing our closing song. Let's read this together in faith. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you.